Why don't we turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. There is the words will be on the screen up above me. And we've been going through 1 Corinthians chapter 15 during this month, during the season of Advent, because during the season of Advent, what we're doing is we're looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ is born. We're looking forward to the day that Christmas comes, where we celebrate when Jesus was born. But not only do we celebrate the coming of Christmas, but we also celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because according to the scriptures, what we believe is that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross for our sins, but he also rose again from the dead. And he tells us in his word that one day he will return back to this earth. And at that time, there will be a final judgment, and the people will be separated, and those that do believe in Jesus Christ will be with the Lord Jesus into eternity. And so during this Advent season, we look forward to that day. So during this Christmas time, what I hope that all of us can do is, yes, remember how Jesus Christ came to this earth and became a human being. He was 100% man and 100% God. Let's remember that. But let's also remember the purpose of why he came. He came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins. But yes, he did rise again from the dead. And he will return one day. Today, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we talk about this idea about the resurrection of the dead. In past weeks, we talked about how Jesus Christ, yes, he did come, he did die, and yes, he did rise again from the dead. But what that also means is that if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then one day in the future, there will be a resurrection of all people. There will be a resurrection, and some people will be resurrected to eternal life, and some people will be resurrected to eternal punishment. Today we'll continue in this chapter, and we'll be talking about the resurrection body. And so let's read together from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 35. And we'll read close to the very end of the chapter. All right? This is the reading of God's word. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you want to live forever? Take some time to think about that. Would you want to live forever? Would you want to live for a really long time? If you were to live a long time, what would you do? How would you live your life? Would you live to travel maybe around the world? Would you try to advance technology? Would you try to save the planet? Or would you just want to do whatever you want to do? Recently, I read on the news about a scientist who was told he was going to die pretty soon. And he thought that he would want to continue his life. And so he had a very serious disease that would begin to take away all the functions of his body, and he would pass away pretty quickly. So what he decided to do was he wanted to extend his life as long as possible. So he decided to go through a number of surgeries so that he would be able to be fed without him eating. He'd be able to breathe without him having to breathe on his own. He would be able to use the bathroom. And he would do all these things, but not just that. I mean, if you could imagine, the quality of life would be pretty bad if that was his life. But what he decided to do was he decided to create some technology, a program. He created an avatar. So he made this 3D image of his face on the computer. And he also had his voice simulated so that through his eyes and even through his brain, the thoughts that were being produced, he would be able to live on in a computer. He said of himself that he would be the first cyborg. And this is what he said. He says, tomorrow I trade my voice for potentially decades of life as we complete the final medical procedure for my transition to full cyborg. The month I was told statistically I would be dead. And the news article said about him, he said that he wanted to push the boundaries of what science can achieve, so decided to extend his life and become fully robotic. And he's now known as, and his name is Peter also. He calls himself Peter 2.0. What about you? If you had the opportunity to live on, would you? Would you want to or not? The Christian message, the reason why we're called Christians today, for those of us that do believe, the Christian message, the good news that we talk about, is about a promise of eternal life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So, there is a promise of eternal life. But the condition is to believe in Jesus. Now, I want to tell you what the main idea of today's message is. The main idea is that I hope that at the end of this message, that each of us here, whether you are a Christian or not, that you would decide to choose life. To choose life. And do that by believing in Jesus Christ. Now, again, that's my hope. I know that not everyone is ready to do that, but that's my hope. And the reason is because life in Jesus is the only way to really experience what life was supposed to be about. Now, we're going to talk about it with three ideas. The first idea is the purpose of life. The second idea is the problem of life. And the third idea is the power of life. All right? So one more time. The purpose of life, the problem of life, and the power of life. So let's talk about the purpose of life. People want to live on. Time magazine recently put out an article. It was about 2 years ago. They put out an article entitling it, "Why Do People Want to Live So Long?" Or why do people want to live so long anyway? And basically, it was discussing a famous bioethicist and oncologist who stated that he would want to live only to the age of 75. And there was a lot of pushback saying, why would you want to shorten your life? Why would you want to not live as long as you want? And the article was trying to explain his position of why that was a good idea for him, because it was so contrary to the idea that most people want to actually live on. If possible, most people out there, a lot of people out there, would want to see their life continue on as long as possible. And perhaps some people have actually thought about, if it was possible, I would want to live forever. In that article, there was a quote that said, "The quest to live forever or to live for great expanses of time has always been a part of the human spirit." So why do people want to live for a long time? Why do people want to live anyways? Why did that scientist want to live only to 75? Why not live just only to 35? Why? Perhaps it's because there's this deep desire in all of humankind, in every single person. Perhaps there's this deep desire or this deep sense that we do have a purpose in life and we want to make this life something that's meaningful. Perhaps we were made in this way, and that we weren't just some a result of just random chance. All of us perhaps have this deep sense of this life is supposed to have some kind of meaning to it. We weren't made to die. We were made to live. And so in Christianity, what we say is that there is a way to live on. There is a way to live on. And the way that that happens is through this new resurrection body that is talked about in our passage today. Paul uses 1 Corinthians to explain that death is not the end of humankind. Death is not supposed to be just the end, but life is able to continue on. In verses 35 to 38, if you guys would look back with me, he wants to discuss the idea of the resurrection body, because as he's explaining that, yes, there is a resurrection, people may be asking, what is this resurrection body supposed to be like? What is it supposed to be like? And so he asked that question in verse 35, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? And then he begins to go on and explain, look, there is different kinds of bodies for different kinds of beings. And so if we look back in verse 35, or starting from verse 35, again, it says, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. What he's trying to explain is that, look, the body that we have right now is not the same kind of body that we will have one day when we are resurrected. Now, I want to make it clear. The way that Paul is speaking right now is specifically about Christians, people who put their hope in Jesus Christ. We will be raised with a new kind of body. Now, the Bible also talks about how one day those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, their bodies will also be raised. They will also come back to life. But again, they will be living forever in eternal punishment. Again, I want to make it clear that what Paul is talking about here is an eternal life for those who do believe in Jesus Christ. The body that we have now is different from the body that we will have when we are resurrected from the dead. Just the same way, he explains, that human bodies are different from animals' bodies. And animals' bodies are different from the birds. And the birds are different from the fish. And the fish are different from the sun and the moon and the stars. And it's really interesting what Paul does here. Because as he talks about this, he mentions human beings, he mentions animals, he mentions birds and fish, he mentions the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he says, look at all of these things. They're all different kinds of bodies. And if a person that was familiar with the Old Testament and was thinking about the Old Testament as they were reading this, if they're reading this, then what may come to mind is the creation account in the very beginning of the world, in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1. And what's really interesting is that if you look at Genesis chapter 1, it talks about how the earth and this whole universe was created. And then on the fourth, fifth, and sixth days, God began to create things to fill the earth or to fill the universe, to fill the skies and to fill the seas. On the fourth day, he created the sun, moon, and stars. On the fifth day, he created the birds and the fish. On the sixth day, he created the animals and human beings. But it's interesting what Paul does here. What Paul does is, when we think about creation, creation happened, and there was a perfect world, there was a Garden of Eden, and they were supposed to live on. But then man fell. Man fell and disobeyed God. And so sin came into the world, and what we have today is a world filled with sin, affected by sin. But what Paul does here is, he talks about how there will be a resurrection body, and he begins to point to the idea that, look, the humans have a different kind of body, which were created on the sixth day. Animals have a different kind of body, which were created on the sixth day. Birds and animals have a different kind of body, which were created on the fifth day. Sun, moon, and stars were created on the fourth day. And it's almost as if Paul is saying there is a reversal that is going on through the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas this world right now is affected by sin, but one day when Jesus Christ returns and the body is resurrected, we will be going backwards, in a sense, backwards to become a world where there is no longer sin, where there is no longer death in this world. Now, I'm not saying time will go backwards. That's not what I'm saying. But it's almost poetically saying that what God is preparing us for one day when we are resurrected is what he originally intended for humankind in the Garden of Eden, to live forever in a relationship with God, to understand what true justice is, to understand what true love is, to not be hurt by other people around us, to not hurt other people, to live in harmony in this world, to live in a world that's not affected by pollution, to live in harmony with the animals and with the universe. That's what God intended. And so, life, one day, when we are all resurrected and we are with the Lord, and I want to make it clear, we are being resurrected to a physical body. That's what the Bible tells us here. We are being resurrected to a physical body, but it's a different kind of body than what we have today. And it's really amazing because how does Paul even know how to talk about this idea? How does Paul even know that there is a different kind of body in the future? Did he have some kind of amazing revelation? Maybe. But perhaps because Jesus Christ appeared to him in the flesh. Jesus Christ appeared to Paul, and Paul is saying, I saw Jesus Christ resurrected. I saw what his body was like. If you think back on some of the stories in the Bible after Jesus Christ resurrected and appeared to other people, they didn't recognize him right away. But after a period of time and they were talking with Jesus and their eyes were open and they were able to recognize, yes, that is Jesus Christ. It was a body that Jesus had that was different, it was different enough where they couldn't recognize him right away. But after some time had passed, they knew, yes, that was Jesus Christ. In the same way, when we are resurrected one day, our bodies will be different. It'll be a body that's not affected by the sin in this world. And so, think about it. That life in the Garden of Eden, that's the kind of life that many of us are thinking about. What will that life be like? And we think that maybe the Garden of Eden was a wonderful place where everything was at peace. There were no worries in this world. That's the kind of life that we'll have one day when we are resurrected. Now, I started off this talk with asking the question, would you want to live forever? And some of us, maybe naturally, we just say, yeah, we want to live forever. But there are some of us that are saying, no. Why would a person want to live forever? And if we think about it, there are a lot of good reasons why some of us here would not want to live forever. Let me go on with the passage. In verse 42, it says, so is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. The reason why some of us may not want to live forever is because we're imagining a world that will continue on with all the sin still in place. And here in these few verses that we just read, it makes this comparison of the life that we have now and the life that we will have one day in the future. And so it begins, this is the second point, the problem of life, the problem of life. The first point is that right now we are living a life that is perishable. Now, let's think about that idea. A life that is perishable means that we will die. A life that is perishable means that we will have sicknesses. A life that is perishable means that our bodies will begin to break down. You guys might not know, but I actually have a back brace on right now because I hurt my back 5 times in the last month and a half. My body's breaking down. I'm not that old, but my body's breaking down already. Some of you guys are experiencing different kinds of sicknesses. Some of you guys are experiencing different kinds of ways that your bodies are breaking down. And so if we were to imagine a life that goes on forever where our body continues to break down, what kind of life would that be? That's not the kind of life that we would want to live forever. It doesn't make sense. That's not the kind of body that the resurrection body is about. It says it's not perishable. It's imperishable. It's a life that won't break down because of sin. It's a life that's free of disease. It's a life that's free of imbalances in your brain. It's a life that's free of the effects of sin on our physical bodies. But not only that, it says the life that we live right now is a life of dishonor compared to one day which will be a life of glory. Now imagine, another reason why we don't want to live on is because we end up sinning and hurting other people. not only do we end up hurting other people by our own sin, but other people's sins end up hurting us. Maybe our own sin ends up hurting ourselves. And because of that, what ends up happening is that we end up living a life of pains and sorrows. The things that we experienced back when we were children, it still affects us today. Today's supposed to be Christmas Sunday where we're supposed to be celebrating, but for some of us here, it's not that happy of a day. It's not that happy of a season. Actually, it's a terrible time for some of us because of these memories, because of how terrible things have been in our lives. It's because of sin. And what sin brings about is dishonor. What sin brings about is this life where we're constantly trying to be happy or constantly depressed. We're trying to figure out ways to make life better, but it doesn't work. We're searching for all kinds of ways. We're looking on Facebook. We're looking on YouTube. We're looking on the news. We're looking at books, trying to figure out ways to make this life feel like it's better. But all we really experience is dishonor. What we experience is not what life is supposed to be. But one day, with the resurrection body, what it is a life of glory. It's a life that is not affected by sin. It's a life where we won't be able to hurt each other anymore. It's a life where we won't be able to be affected by all the things that happened to us in the past. It talks about how there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. That's the kind of life that it will be one day. And it also says that it is sown in weakness and raised in power. Now here's the thing. In our lives right now, we try our best to make this life work. We try our best to make it somehow a better place. But as much as we try, we're so advanced in our technology, we're so advanced in medicine, we're so advanced in ideas of how to be a better world. We have the UN. But all of us know there's still wars going on. There's still the threat of other people out there and nations. We try our best to make things work, but you know what? In this life right now, we are weak. There's no way that we could change this world on our own strength, with our own power, to make this life a better life. But it says one day there will be power to change this world into a better place. Ultimately, it's sown a natural body. And the idea of natural is basically the idea that because of sin, this is what we've come to know. And this is what we know as natural. But it says it'll be raised a spiritual body. And it doesn't mean that one day we're going to be raised and we're going to be spirits just floating around everywhere. But what it means is that we will be raised by the power of the Spirit of God. We'll be raised to live and to want to live lives that are good, that are loving, that are according to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to do this one quick mental exercise. I want to ask the question, why do we eat? Why do we eat? I've heard this very philosophical phrase in the past. People will either live to eat or eat to live. Some of you guys may have heard about this before. What about you? Do you eat to live or live to eat? Do you eat so that you can continue living and it doesn't matter what kind of food you eat as long as you keep living? Or do you live for the enjoyment of eating? Why do we eat? For some people, it is really because if we don't eat, we will die. For some people, we really try to enjoy life when we're eating, and that's the thing that we're hoping will give us a lot of pleasure, and we're hoping for more and more pleasure, but when that doesn't come, we're eating and we're hoping that somehow that the pain and the sorrow that we're facing will go away. And so we eat to try to fight death. But whether we eat to live or live to eat, in some ways, we continue to experience death. The only result that this life has is death. But Jesus Christ, after he rose again from the dead, he ate. He ate with his disciples. Why did he eat? He was resurrected. Death had no power over him. He was able to live on, even if he didn't eat. Why did he eat? Perhaps it's because if he didn't have to worry about dying, and he didn't have to worry about appeasing some type of sorrow in his life, then really eating was just out of pure enjoyment. Why do we work? Why do we work? We work so that we can make some money, so that we don't have to live a terrible life. Or we work because we really want to do something meaningful in this world. We work because we feel like that's going to bring some type of meaning in our lives. But as we work, we get stressed and it breaks down our bodies and we begin to experience death. Whether it's to just survive or whether because we're doing something, trying to do something meaningful. But we begin to experience death over and over and over again. But what's interesting is that in the Garden of Eden, when they didn't experience death, when death was not even a concept at that time, God already gave them work to do. He told them to subdue the earth, to rule the world. And so imagine, what would work be like if it wasn't for the purpose of just trying to survive? Or if it wasn't for the purpose of trying to fulfill some type of desire that I'm not getting, what would work be like? Work will be for the pure enjoyment of working, of doing things for God's glory, of discovering new things about who God is, about this world. But again, on our own, we're not able to do this. And in this world, we will continue to experience death. No matter how much we try to make life easier, no matter how much we try to protect ourselves, no matter how much we try to go on vacations, to try to bring down the stress levels, in this life, we will continue to experience death. But here's the third point. The power of life. Life itself, the life that we live right now, is not powerful on its own. But as it says here, Jesus Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God together, is the one that gives life. And there is power in that kind of life. And Jesus Christ, because he was the first one to rise from the dead, he's able to give that to us as well. Jesus Christ is imperishable. Jesus Christ was raised in glory. Jesus Christ was raised with power, in power. Jesus Christ is not only resurrected himself, but the Bible tells us if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we will also be raised to life one day. And so the passage, the last section, talks about how one day Jesus Christ will return. There will be a trumpet sound. This will happen. If you put your faith in Jesus, you will be raised to life. you will begin to experience this wonderful life with the Lord. And that's why he ends towards the end of the chapter saying, when the perishable puts on the imperishable in verse 54, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And this passage, death is swallowed up in victory, comes from Isaiah 25. And this is what the whole verse says. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. This morning, my wife's cousin had a funeral service for his four-month-old daughter. And we were able to watch the funeral service online. They live-streamed it. And they were telling us in the eulogy that in this life, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, there is no hope. There's only death. But because of Jesus Christ, because he did rise again, they will be able to see their daughter one day in heaven again. There is hope because of Jesus Christ. There is hope of glory. There is hope for meaning in this life. Again, the passage says, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak to all of us here. Whether you are a believer or not, I ask you to choose life. The only way that we can have life, to really experience life, is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him, because not only does he promise us that there will be a resurrection one day and that there is hope for the future, but even starting now, you can begin to be an agent that shares this life with others because of how Jesus Christ begins that work of resurrecting our hearts from the dead, resurrects our hearts so that we can begin to live this life for the Lord today. And not only do we experience this life ourselves, but there is power in this life to be able to share this life with the people of this world. So put your trust in Jesus today. Let's be thankful that he does have victory over death. There is hope. And the reason why that any of this is possible is because of what we celebrate today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus Christ came into this world and was born in a manger, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Let's pray together.